Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome you live for the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. A very big show for us here today. Segment number one, going to take a look at the sectional points for both baseball and softball. And later here in segment number two and three, Coach Davis of Arabian Softball will be coming live to join us. And then back there for the fifth segment, we were able to catch up with Coach Vosburgh earlier today. And the sixth and final segment, I was able to catch up with Pendleton Rugby coach Kurt Trout to talk about what's been going on for Pendleton Rugby and as well as what lies ahead for their upcoming season. But so far, Jacob, of course, last night was a big sectional pairing both for baseball and softball. So across the board, both these Arabian teams, they know who their opponent's going to be in that very first round of that sectional tournament.
And I know we kind of keep drying this term out a little bit. Sectionals is kind of like, you know, the Christmas time. Because, I mean, what's there to not love about, you know, sectional baseball, softball? Best time of the year. I mean, this is why both these teams play between, you know, 20, 25 regular season games. They train up, play, just to prepare for this time of the year.
And as you mentioned, it's all just continuously building up for that sectional tournament because every team's ultimate goal is to win that state title come there May and June. And all at first, if you want to win that state championship, you have to get through a sectional. And as now, first off, we'll take a look at Arabian baseball. So this past weekend, they had a couple nice wins as they traveled up to Lafayette Jeff in that doubleheader there. But in their first round of the tournament, they're going to be challenged a bit, and they're going to see the face of the Mount Vernon Marauders. That's a team that sent them home last season in the sectional championship here at Bill Stout Field. But for so far, the Arabians this season, they split the conference series with Mount Vernon 1-1. They dropped the game at home, but then flipped around the next night and went put a nice shutout against the Marauders.
Yeah, and that first-round matchup against Mount Vernon, it's a long, long way away. It's about a month away, a few weeks away, but really just got to, like, between those last two games. Now, Mount Vernon got them in that first game. The 1-9-3, it was pretty tight between, I'd say, the first six innings. And then Mount Vernon in that seventh inning, they had three runs. Pretty much iced the game, and then the next day, they went over to Marauder Field, and they shut them out 8-0. So that really kind of built up, a lot of momentum for Pendleton Heights, because then they had the 8-0 shutout against Mount Vernon, and then Ian, that really set them up for, of course, their two wins this weekend against Lafayette Jeff. That first game, they won 2-1, once again, quieted the play, but then the next game, they won 14-1.
Definitely for them, a definitely busy part of their season, but in the back of your mind, you're kind of seeing what lies ahead for them. They know what they have to improve, what they have to build on. And just knowing you play the Mount Vernon in that very first round, they've already had their chance to get their eyes on them for two games so far this season. So they have a great idea of where they're going to go, especially when it comes to their pitching or side of the ball. But as we take a look on the flip side of the baseball bracket, Richmond and Greenfield Central will play in the opening round as well. The winner of that game will move on to play the winner of Pendleton Heights and Mount Vernon. And then the winner of that semifinal game will go on to play the winner of the Muncie Central Anderson game. And the winner of both of those semifinals will advance to that sectional championship. But overall, no matter what way Pendleton Heights looks at it, they're going to see a very tough Mount Vernon squad. And if the odds are in Greenfield Central's favor, they're more than likely going to see Greenfield in that second round if they get past Mount Vernon.
Indeed, not only will they play Mount Vernon, but they have that chance to play their other conference opponent, Greenfield Central. And another thing to point out on the schedule this week for the Ravens, they are set to take on the Greenfield Central Cougars on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it kind of gives them another game to prepare, play another competitive matchup before sectional time comes around.
As you mentioned, they will have two games against Greenfield this week. They will play tomorrow at home, and then Wednesday they're going to travel to Greenfield. So they'll have another two-game look at a potential sectional opponent as well. And Greenfield so far in the year, they're looking pretty solid. They have a nice pitching rotation. They're really working around that pretty well. But as now taking a look over to the softball side of things, so last night they started their sectional draw. As they all got together, but Pendleton Knights, they found out they're going to be taking on Richmond in that opening round of the sectional tournament, And for Richmond, they're not known very well at all when it comes to softball. Just overall don't have the kind of size of Pendleton Heights or anything like that. But they still have some players there and some studs that'll give the best talent they have. So it's not going to be an easy task for the Lady Arabians, but they are definitely the favored team when it comes to that matchup.
Yeah, whenever it comes to, you know, playoff time, even if a team is the first seed, 16th seed, you can never underestimate the underdog. I mean, if you take a look at, well, for the NCAA tournament, for example, St. Peter's defeated Kentucky, you cannot underestimate that underdog team. And so, though Pendleton Heights does have favorite advantage, first seed, just really third in the state of Indiana. They're 14-3, really just a phenomenal group of players here on this softball squad. They cannot underestimate what Richmond could bring to the table.
Then the other side of the opening round for softball, Greenfield Central will take on Mount Vernon right there, because that's going to be a big game for both of those teams, both very competitive teams. And then as for Pendleton Heights, if they get past that first round against Richmond, they will be faced off with Anderson in that second round. And Anderson's one of those games that Coach Davis was really hoping to happen as scheduled this year. It was a scheduled game, but was unfortunately canceled due to the weather. Had some rain come in, a little bit of snow. So they were forced to cancel that game and unable with all the scheduling and a busy spring schedule, unable to get that game rescheduled. So he's talked about it multiple times. That's a game he wished he could get back. But if he gets past Richmond, he'll be able to finally get that Anderson game in the semifinal of the sectional tournament.
And that's unfortunate that they can play that game against Anderson this season. But you got to think, you know, they've already played a nice competitive stretch of conference games or just games in general. Of course, the Carmel invite where they played teams like Castle, Brownsburg, Avon. And, you know, unfortunately, the Horseshoe Classic got canceled. But really, I'd say that Carmel invite really kind of gave this team a lot of momentum, a lot of competitive ability, potential competitive ability.
On the flip side, the winner of Greenfield Central and Mount Vernon goes on to play Muncie Central in that semifinal. And, of course, the winner of that will move on to the sectional championship. But out of that whole kind of sectional pairing, Pendleton Heights is definitely one of the most favorited teams when it comes to that. They, as you mentioned, a 14-3 record up to this point. They'll see Connersville tomorrow night. They'll see Mount Vernon at home on Thursday. And that Mount Vernon game this Thursday, definitely going to be a big one for the Lady Arabians to kind of give them a bigger scaled idea of what lies ahead for them in the sectional tournament.
Oh, not only Connersville. Well, for that case of the sectional, yes, Mount Vernon, but another team that they're playing tomorrow night, as you just mentioned, Connersville, can really, once again, I just mentioned it, kind of rev up their, you know, competitive ability. Connersville, I believe they were 13-1. They got a batting average of 508, a team batting average of 508. So that's another team that could really test Pendleton Heights to their limits.
Just two games this week is all the Arabians will have. But other than that, they will be back next week and they'll have a couple more conference. Right now, they're kind of in the heart of their conference schedule. So far, they've only played two games up to this point when it comes to conference. They had a game against Delta as well as a game against Shelbyville, and they kind of split that. So right now they're sitting currently sixth in the Hoosier Heritage Conference at 1-1, but still plenty of games left to be played. They'll see Mount Vernon this week. They'll see teams such as Greenfield and New Pound the upcoming week of next week. And just a lot of conference games coming their way here in the next couple of weeks.
And that's perfect because they need those tough competitive matchups right before sectional comes around, because you don't want to play, you know, those tough, though it would be nice, get those tough competitive matchups away the first part of the season, and then play some easy teams when, you know, when you're heading into the season, you play those easy teams first, and then you kind of step up the competition a little bit about halfway through the season. That's going to get you really prepared for the sectional.
And that's going to bring an end to our first segment, but when we come back, Coach Davis will be joining us for the second segment. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Is life too boring for you?
Well, that changes now.
Tune in to The Conversation with Music and Mayhem.
Every Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. 91.7 WEEM.
Need more clients for your business? Want others to know more about the purpose of your business or company? Then consider becoming an underwriter for 91.7 WEEM. With your sponsorship, you can help the student broadcasters of Pendleton Heights High School gain important skills and experience. WEEM has a cherished tradition of involving our community, and that wouldn't happen without the help and support of our underwriters. More information is available from Christian Ruggles at 765-778-2161, extension 6095. or cruggles@smcsc.com. Again, that's cruggles@smcsc.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
We welcome you guys back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM. Me and Stevens, joining me is Jacob Fessmeyer and Coach Davis, now in the house here for segment number two as we take a look at what happened last week for Arabian softball. But another successful week. You guys went 3-0 on the week with some big wins. But what has the atmosphere on the field been like in the past couple of weeks?
They've been confident. You know, they've been playing hard. They've had good competition. You know, they haven't backed down from it. And, you know, they just showed up and played, you know. And like we've talked all year, routine plays and all that, we've made them. And, you know, it worked out for us.
And you started off the week with four home runs in that win against 15-4 win over Frankton. But what was it like kind of getting your week started on a high note with a big bang?
Well, you know, Frankton's kind of one of those games that we've already played them in the county tournament, which was, means a lot more than that game there. So, you know, I thought we might come in a little flat, but, you know, we came in and they were excited to play. Didn't matter who was in the other dugout. And that's kind of what this team's kind of done. It doesn't really matter who we're playing. They just come out and they play hard.
Now, against Noblesville on Thursday was a 4-1 win over the Zlade Millers. Now, it was more of a defensive matchup as Eliza Finley had 10 strikeouts, earning another win on the season. But what did you see from your team out on the field and on the mound?
Well, you know, Noblesville played great competition all year long. Every game, you know, up there on the north side that they play, you know, is competitive. You know, so for them to come in here and for us to do that and score four runs and Eliza pitching, you know, with 10 strikeouts, she hasn't done that all year, kept them off balance. You know, Kylie Ryan calling the game for me, or, you know, she calls the pitches for us. You know, they did a great job of communicating against to one another. And they have some big bats. And for us to keep them off guard and they only score one run, that was huge.
So in a game, once again, in a game that was basically defensively based, how important were those big at-bats?
Oh, they're all important. Yeah, you know, they were big. We had, you know, and I think we got a two-out hit, actually, it was 3-1, and then I think maybe we hit a home run. Bo did hit the scoreboard. You know, so, you know, just having those that extra insurance runs, you know, took a little pressure off Eliza also.
For much of the season, your guys' air numbers have definitely been low, kind of where you're wanting them. But what kind of focus has it been throughout practices and games to kind of keep those errors limited into low numbers?
Well, we're working on the things that we mess up, you know, that we make errors on. You know, we're working on the in-between balls where the shortstop, right fielder, and first baseman all go after it, or the third baseman, shortstop, left fielder all goes after it. The balls that we're not getting to, you know, we're working on that so everybody feels comfortable when that situation happens again to try to make us better.
And that game against Noblesville, definitely a challenging game defensively, as you're trying to keep the low scoring, just a 4-1 finish. But what did you see out of your girls the most defensively?
Well, you know, it's the games. You know, it's the close games, because that's what's going to happen when we get to the tournament. You know, you're going to get everybody's best shot. So you got to execute in pressure situations. You know, you got to want the ball. And that's what we're trying to get to these girls, you know, attention, that they need the ball, they want the ball, you know, hit to them. Because, you know, the games are going to be tight. They're not going to be 15-5, 16-1. You know, they're going to be 3-4, 2-1, 1-0. You know, so those kind of games are good for us this time of year.
Now, that game against HSC, at one point, your team was down 6-2 heading into the fourth inning. But what do you see from your team in, or I guess, climbing themselves out of that hole late in the game?
Well, you know, we got down 6-0, and I knew that there was plenty of time left. You know, we have plenty of time to come back, especially with our big bats that we have. But, you know, we didn't really hit the ball. We only had eight hits, I think, total is what it came through at the end. So for us to battle back, being down, never giving up attitude, that was good for these girls to experience, because you never know when that's going to need to happen again.
Now, Sydney Clark, a player coming in that fourth inning to pinch hit as well as the sixth, and had two big hits that drove across two runs. What have you seen from her in that last week?
I think she changed the game for us that night. You know, I think when she came in, she gave us a big lift. She came off the bench, got a double, scored a run. You know, knocked the score down. You know, I think it was 6-1, maybe 6-2 then when she did that. Then she come in and got another big hit. So, you know, Sid's kind of taking her role, understands what her role is coming off the bench in tough situations. You know, that's not an easy job coming in to pinch hit off of a batter when you've been sitting on the bench for 3 or 4 innings.
So that big, nice thriller win against HSU on Friday. What did your team kind of had your backs to the wall for a little bit there, down 6-0, but what did you see out of your team, just their ability to kind of fight in the intense moments?
Well, you know, if you were at the game, you know, bottom of 7, 2 outs, nobody on base. That's kind of how the game, that's where we were. Routine fly ball right field, she dropped it. So that gave us an opportunity, and that's what I told the girls. You know, great teams take advantage of opportunities. And you know, that's how we got back in the ball game. You know, they had the third out, game was over. All she had to do was catch it. She didn't, and we made them pay. And that's what I told her. You know, told these guys. You know, great teams take advantage of an opportunity, and they took a one. And it was an exciting win for them. It made them realize that you know, never say never.
In a situation like that, what was it like just being able to kind of see your team come from behind and get that win in this situation at the end?
Well, I'm proud of them. You know, I'm proud of where we're at, 14-3. You know, I wish we had a couple of them other games back. But, you know, where we're at, we're playing good ball. Everybody's kind of accepted their roles this late in the season. And we're going to make a big push to see what happens. You know, we still got 2 weeks of the season left, I think. Maybe 10 ball games left in them 2 weeks. So it's going to be kind of crazy, nonstop, you know, and we'll see what they're made of, see how they finish.
So with two more games scratched off the schedule, what would you say were your biggest takeaways from last week?
Being competitive, being down, coming back. Noblesville game 4-1, being in a tight ball game, pressure situations, they handled it, made the defensive plays. And in the same situation with the HSE game, you know, I don't look for it to get much easier either.
Now, how do you feel playing against teams like Noblesville and HSE is really preparing your team for sectional action here in a couple of weeks?
Well, they're tight ball games. Yeah, you know, they got athletes on both sides of the, you know, on their roster. We got athletes on our roster. So, you know, it's who's going to make the right play, who's going to execute, who's not going to make mistakes, who's not going to give the other team opportunities. So, you know, to play those kinds of teams, it gets you tournament ready, because that's the kind of teams you're going to see in the tournament after, the middle of the sectional.
So defensively in that game against HSU, you kind of did a little mix there of Eliza Finley and Shelby Mester. But how do you think defensively they did kind of bouncing off of each other and coming in to close out the game?
Well, you know, I started Eliza. Liza's the one that, that I gave her the ball, and you know, they scored three runs right off the bat, had 4 hits, I believe, in the first inning. So I went with Shelby, you know, to see if it would change anything, and of course it didn't, and they scored 3 more runs. So then I said, you know what, I'm going to go, you know, maybe Eliza's calmed down, or you know, because she pitched the night before against Noblesville and did a great job. I put her back in there. They didn't score another run. Gave us the opportunity to win the ball game.
And that's going to be the end of segment number 2. But when we come back, we will have our third segment of the evening, as we will talk about what to look forward to this week for Arabian softball. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Hey, Dr. Jenner, what do you remember most about playing high school sports?
Oh, I loved it. I made friends and have memories I'll treasure forever. But what mattered most were the life lessons I learned in the soccer field.
Life lessons? Which are your favorite?
Just being part of a team. You learn so many valuable skills. Collaboration, communication, work ethic. These are just some of the lessons that have helped shape the person I am to this day. I'm Dr. Katie Jenner, Indiana Secretary of Education.
And I'm Paul Knighty, Commissioner of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. Join us in celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX and the opportunities this provided female student athletes across this country, including here in Indiana.
Thanks to Title IX, generations of female student athletes have learned life lessons that will impact them for the rest of their lives.
And that is a legacy worth celebrating.
This is 50 years of Title IX. This is celebrating generations of female student athletes. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 917 WEEM. Here for segment number three as we take a look at what's lying ahead for Arabian softball. So this week you'll have two games kicking off tomorrow against Connersville at home. They're coming in looking 13-1. So what can you expect from a team like the Lady Spartans?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I looked at their schedule the other night too, and I seen they were 13-1. So, you know, I look for them to bring some solid pitching, somebody that doesn't walk a lot of people, that will give us, opportunity to see consistent pitching and get us ready for the rest of the week. But, I'm not really sure. You know, their competition looks like they've been beating some teams pretty good, so they're going to put the ball in play, which that's my defense. So we'll have to be ready to play. That's what I told the girls today.
So speaking a little bit on your defense, Connersville, they come in batting the team at 508. So defensively, how will your team handle some of their big hitters?
We'll go through the lineup and we'll read them where they hit the ball the first time around. And, we'll play medium depth with them. I did see where they had hit a few home runs. We'll play normal defense and, you know, just expect to make plays. You know, I expect these girls to make the plays. And so far, they're doing a darn good job of making plays. You know, Haley Brennemer laid out in center field to stop a big rally the other night. With the bases loaded, Bryn Libler made a nice defensive play. So, you know, I'll take this defense just about up against anybody in the state.
So now your team is starting the week at home on what will be your fourth of six straight here at home. What's so special about playing at this wonderful Legends Field?
I think this just gives them more confidence. It's called home. It's home for a reason. And I just think that, you know, when they play here, they get a little extra step in there.
So after this big game against Connersville tomorrow, you have one more practice for your big anticipated rematch with Mount Vernon on Thursday. What do you look forward the most about playing a team like Mount Vernon?
Well, to fill them out a little bit. You know, I know they're probably number one pitchers not going to be pitching since they've already probably knocked out of the conference championship. So they'll save that for the sectional. So we'll get their number two, number three. But we'll see how we line up. We'll see how they hit. And give us a little bit of scouting report before we go into the sectional in 2 weeks.
So the rivalry between Pendleton and Mount Vernon has definitely risen more fierce year after year. But what's the difference between a rivalry game and any other game throughout your season?
To me they're all the same, you know. But, a conference definitely, you know, that's a big game. The Madison County tournaments are always big games. So, you know, being the conference, and we're still battling for the conference. New Pal got beat for the first time in 5 years the other night by Shelbyville. So Shelbyville's lost one. We've lost one. Yorktown's lost one. New Pal's lost one. So, you know, when we went out, we're in the conference championship. You know, we can call ourselves champions. So, for the conference and being just 10 minutes down the road, you know, these kids know each other. So I think they all take a little bit of pride in that too.
So in the record column, Mount Vernon, they're off to sort of a rough start, but what can we expect out of a team like the Marauders?
Well, don't be surprised. You know, that record means nothing, especially when they play us. We'll get their best shot. They'll be ready to play. They do a good job over there getting their team ready. We'll throw the records out the window, and we'll see what happens.
So Mount Vernon is a team, or the team who put an end to the season last year. Well, what's that plan or keys to get rid of that sour taste from last year?
Well, you know, we're fired up about it. There's no doubt about it. These girls remember that from a year ago, ended their season, ended some careers. These girls remember that, and we beat them last year during the season, you know. So these girls are going to be fired up. They'll be excited to play. It should be a fun night.
So 1-1 in the conference, but Mount Vernon is a great shot to go 2-1 in the conference and ultimately chase after that first place goal. But what would you say are some other keys in trying to suppress Mount Vernon for winning later this week?
We play our game, we're good. You know, we'll be all right. You know, put the ball in play, hard. Hit our spots on the pitching. You know, everything you got to do in every game to it'll make life easier if we do what we're supposed to do.
So far this year, your team's only played two conference games, so kind of getting in the heart of the conference schedule in these upcoming weeks. But what's going to be your biggest push to try to, as you were mentioning, get to the top of the conference?
Well, our whole conference is good. You know, New Pals ranked number two. We're right up there. Yorktown's ranked number one, 3A. So Shelbyville's up there in the rankings. So, you know, four of our seven teams in the conference are strong contenders in every year. So, you know, we're getting into the heart of it. You know, and we got to show up to play. You know, it's going to be a fight from the fit to the finish. And every conference game we have left, you know, is going to be very, very hard. And we're going to have to be ready for it.
So last night was the sectional draw, and your team found out your opponent in the opening round of this sectional tournament will be Richmond. Did your team do anything to get together to celebrate the draw?
Yeah, we actually did. We've had a cornhole tournament out at my house and rang the king, had Pizza King, and had a cornhole champion and watched it, and then and everybody was excited. So, you know, we like our draw. We like where we're at. You know, we like to draw with Richmond, and then we come back with Anderson, and then we'll get one of the bottom three for the championship once we get there.
So now with you coaching softball here for several years, what gets you fired up the most about sectionals?
Just the community coming out, everybody being here. You know, we had a big crowd Friday night with HSE. So, you know, just seeing everybody out here playing on our home field gives us an advantage, I believe. But, you know, just everybody, the community's coming out and all the people and the excitement that the tournament brings.
So, of course, today is Monday. That means it's back to work. How was practice today?
Good. They're upbeat. You know, they're excited about the win last Friday. They're excited about their draw. They want to get better. So the morale's good.
So overall, what would you say is your biggest focus on gaining this week?
Hitting, definitely. We'll get the machine out on Wednesday, get ready for Mount Vernon's pitching. And then we got Greenfield New Pile, so we're going to turn the machine up and throw some balls that'll move, some curve balls. And then we'll probably come back a little bit with some live pitching from our JV pitchers to see some movement. You know, we worked on our defense today. So, you know, all we got to do is just do the things that we've been doing. Continuing on repetition, so when a game situation, it's automatic.
Well, that's all we have for segment number three, but as always, Coach Davis, thank you for coming up and joining us.
All right, thanks for covering us.
But when we come back, Jacob was able to catch up with Coach Fosberg earlier today for segment number four and five, and then after that, we'll have a pre-recorded segment. I was able to catch up with Coach Trout of Pendleton Rugby earlier today as well, but for Jacob Fessmeyer, I'm Ian Stevens signing off here for segment number four on the ASN Coaches Show 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style with women, men, and children's haircuts, skincare, and spa services. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
This is the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. I am Jacob Fessmeyer. We are here for inning number four here with the Ravens baseball head coach, Matt Vosburgh. Coach Vosburgh, thank you for joining me.
You bet.
So Ravens baseball had four games on the schedule last week, two in their conference circuit against the Mount Vernon Marauders, and a doubleheader on Saturday against the Lafayette Jeff Broncos. Now, Pendleton Heights went 3-for-1 this week, turning around the woes from the week before, but getting into game number one, the Ravens hosted the Marauders last Tuesday.
But I'd say Mount Vernon had a competitive and slightly tight game for the most of the night before the Marauders secured three runs at the top of the seventh to pull away and win game number one, 9-3. Tough night, but a couple of hitters to highlight are Caleb Frakes, as he had two hits, including a triple, and two of the Ravens' three runs. Nate Gilmett also had a hit with an RBI. But what did you see from your team in this first game against the Marauders?
Well, against Mount Vernon that Tuesday night, we were facing a pretty good pitcher. And so we knew we had a tough task ahead of us with Breidenthal on the mound for them. But at the end of the day, I really liked how we competed. We had guys up there, you know, our focused approach was much better. You know, our competitive approach was much better. We weren't watching pitches go by. We went up there with the intent of doing damage with the baseball. And so when we went down striking out, we went down swinging. You know, at the very least, that's what you can ask for as a coach. I just don't want us looking at baseballs. So you can't defend that. You're not going to score anything off of that. So if we're up there competing with each at bat, that's what we can, you know, walk away from feeling good about ourselves. And we put up three runs against a really good pitcher. And under normal circumstances, maybe that would be enough to win a game. But we didn't throw enough strikes on the mound that night to match that, that performance that Breidenthal put together. But at the end of the day, you know, we competed against a good team. We kept ourselves in it until the very last inning. I think they put three on the board there in the last inning there. And so we know we put ourselves into a position where we were at least, able to be within shooting distance there at the end of the game.
But now the following day, the tables turned greatly and Pendleton Heights went on to defeat the Mount Vernon Marauders, this time on their field, 8-0. But what was it like seeing your team just go from losing to Mount Vernon the previous day to shutting them out the next day?
That might have been the most proud I've been of our team all year long, because you know they'd come off a couple of difficult games prior to the first Mount Vernon game, in which our energy just wasn't great, in which I think we kind of as a team we just kind of came to a turning point, you know, came to a head, like we've got to get this thing figured out, we've got to turn this around. A lot of things were said in our dugout, in our clubhouse when we got back from I think that was the LN game before the Mount Vernon series started, and you know a lot of things were hashed out at that point. I think guys understood where we as coaches were coming from, we understood where players were coming from, and we just needed to put it together. And then to go out and perform, you know, compete against a really good Mount Vernon team the first night and not get the result that we wanted, and then to come back out the next day and just be 100% ready, fired up, focused, and go out and put up together the performance of the year. You know, Spencer LePink that night was exactly what we needed out of a pitcher. He was a bulldog on the mound. He was as competitive of a pitcher that we've had all year long, and so that was he set the tone for us, and we did enough with the bat that night. You know, we didn't blister any baseballs. I think we had two just really solid hits, but again, that competitive approach for us in that game really proved effective, because you know we put up I think eight hits on that night, I did enough on the bases and put the ball in play enough where we kind of put them on their heels, and they made a couple of unforced errors. And at the end of the day, our pitching did the job, and, you know, we got a big win.
I mean, everything just really clicked for the Ravens in this game. As you just mentioned, at the mound, Spencer LePink pitched most of the game for Pendleton Heights, allowing just those three hits, also getting five strikeouts. Alex Begley was also in the mix. He pitched for just one inning, but he also had three strikeouts. But what did you see from your pitching group and taking the Marauders from 9 runs and 14 hits the day before to no runs and three hits the next?
It was literally in my mind, it was our focused and like what was our attack mindset there that night on the second game. You know, we went up with a confidence that we hadn't had really, but that was also a tone setter from our starting pitcher. You know, it's easy to kind of get up there and feel like you've got something to prove, and then it start to actually present itself. You know, our guys were actually up there seeing good results and staying in the zone, knowing that their stuff worked. All they got to do, like we just can't defend a walk. And so we know prior to, in our previous struggles this year, we were walking, giving up way too many free bases. In our last 2 weeks now, we've really cut that number down, and just giving our guys a chance to defend. You know, it's this is 4A baseball. You know, guys are going to put the ball in play. You're going to give up home runs. Like those are the things that, you know, when in years past, you know, guys don't expect that. You know, guys are strong enough now where you miss okay to pitch, someone's going to drive the baseball, you know, and so we've got to understand that, hey, I'm going to make mistakes as a pitcher. I can't be too careful. I need to challenge every single at bat. I need to challenge. I can't just like nitpick. And so when our guys understand that that their stuff plays at this level and they have the confidence enough just to throw the ball over the plate and let the defense behind us work, you know, we're a much better team. We're a much better pitching staff.
But now on to Saturday, it was the doubleheader against the Broncos. Now game one was rather quiet at the plate for both teams, but the Ravens scored this game with a 2-1 victory, put on its only two runs, came in that fourth inning. That's all you guys need to hold on to win. But a big thing I really want to point out is Quinn DeVault at the mound for Pendleton Heights in his varsity debut at the mound with the Ravens. Three innings pitched, one hit allowed, and three strikeouts. Describe what it was like seeing Quinn have a game like that in his debut at pitcher.
Yeah, so, Quinn got a little extra work last weekend, or 2 weekends ago now, with the JV. And you have to give a lot of credit to Coach Price. Coach Price, had a rotation set up, and he gave Quinn a shot there on the mound at the JV level and walked away with 8 strikeouts on that JV Saturday. So, we'd be pretty bad coaches not to try to give him another shot to see if he can't replicate that. And so that next Saturday, this past Saturday was a great opportunity for him to get out and get some low stress innings and just kind of see, if his stuff played, and it did. And he ended up, pitching 3 really solid innings for us. I was really proud of our guys, because Quinn struggled a little bit in different capacities this year, but his, you can't question his demeanor and his will to win and his drive and determination to contribute to the team in any way that he can. And our team, the guys were fired up to go watch him pitch on Saturday. And so that was really just one of those great team moments to see a guy we as a team are taking success, finding happiness and joy and seeing other people on the team succeed in a variety of different ways. And so that's kind of that next level maturity that we, often preach about, in high school sports. Everyone wants to be the guy. Everyone wants to be the one to make the play or to get the big hit. But can we be mature enough as a team to, when somebody else has that moment, can we find that same amount of joy that we would take and give to ourselves if we were the ones that were experiencing that moment and have that for someone else? And I thought we displayed that a lot on Saturday. And really over the last couple of games, that team culture, that team camaraderie, that team, that just wanting everyone on the team to succeed and everyone on the team to win, regardless of who is the guy, that's a next level thing. So I thought that was probably the coolest thing about Quinn going out there and delivering for us on Saturday.
Now on the game number 2, this was by far one of the best games for Pendleton Heights all season. So they went on to win 14-1 and had the game conclude after the 5th inning. Now Clayton Turner had a phenomenal game, 3 for 3 at the plate, 2 doubles, a triple, 3 runs, and 5 RBIs. Spencer LePink had 4 total runs for the Ravens. Ricky Howell had 3. Pendleton Heights also totaled up 6 stolen bases in this game. What was it like just really seeing this team get a quiet win in game number 1 to just an absolutely stellar win in game number 2?
So we talked about this when we got back, is that, again, Saturday was one of the more just fun days of baseball that we've had in a long time, and for a variety of different reasons. We got everybody into the game throughout the course of the day. So everybody played baseball to some degree, our entire roster. So that was great to have just a true team victory. Everyone contributed in their own way. We won a tight game, a game that was hard fought, very clean game, not a lot of errors in that first game. I think only 3 on the day total for the team, for both teams combined, so it was very clean. A lot of guys throwing strikes, and so we won in 2 different ways. That first game, that it came down to a bases loaded situation for us. We walked, got a run in, that's how they got their 1 run. So it literally came down to a 3-2 count, bases loaded, bottom of the 7th, kind of like your backyard, what you always put your situation in when you're growing up. And we delivered in a tough competitive moment that was pressure filled. So we won that game, and that gave us a ton of confidence just to be able to say, because we hadn't been in a game like that all year. We hadn't had a lead late and trying to hold on to it and try to come out with a win. And then to turn around the very next game and kind of play the exact opposite, right? We come out with our bats on fire. We come out with that. Just, it's funny how baseball works that way. It's the same lineup, same guys. It's just any given moment, the way that you see the ball out of a particular pitcher's hand gives you a 1-up or gives you a kind of a, you're playing behind the 8-ball. So it just depends on every hitter's kind of different in how they pick up pitches. Guys that hit well in the first game didn't necessarily hit well the second game. Clayton didn't have a great offensive game in that first game of the doubleheader. Came out with an entirely different focused approach that second game, and had one of the better offensive days we've seen from many of our hitters, all year long. So it was just a fun day of baseball overall.
So this will close it out for the first segment with Coach Vosburgh. But when we come back, he'll return here for our next segment, our next inning, to preview this week in Ravens baseball. Listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Sandra, tell me your favorite thing about Indiana high school sports.
Well, Chris, as a fellow IHSA assistant commissioner, I don't know if I can choose just one. Tell me, what's yours?
It's the little victories, the day-to-day achievements of student athletes, the real character-building stuff.
Absolutely. One of mine as well. All the hard work off the court, the field, the mat, the deck, those defining moments during practices that the crowd never sees.
Exactly. And we don't celebrate those victories enough.
We don't. And there's an even bigger victory we need to celebrate.
That's right. We welcome fans back to high school sporting events across Indiana.
So, buy a ticket to your high school's next athletic event. The schools and student athletes deserve your support.
They need you in the stands now more than ever.
This is your team. This is your community. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
This is the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. We're here in inning number five here with Coach Vosburgh. Now, Coach, Arabians baseball has another stacked week once again, as once again they have four games on the schedule. But this time, they're playing against three different teams, so really a lot to prepare for. But you guys are set to host Westfield Shamrocks tonight at 6, and the Greenfield Central Cougars the following day here from Bill Stout Field. This day, you guys travel to Greenfield Central, close out that conference circuit, and a trip to Middletown to take on the Shenandoah Raiders on Friday. But what's it like preparing for busy weeks like this?
You know, the hardest part is just making sure that our pitching rotation is set. You know, we trust our hitters to go out there on any given night against any given team and perform. The real kind of strategic and planning part of the week comes down to who's going to pitch when and in what situations. So if we can kind of put together a game plan like that, you know, our guys are really good about just showing up, and whatever lineup shows, they go out and play. You know, we try to give our pitchers obviously a little bit more of a heads up about, you know, when they're expected to pitch, especially starters. It's a lot of fun. You know, everyone likes to play baseball rather than practice baseball. So we got a lot of games this week, and we're playing four out of the six days. And so it'll be a good week.
Now, as I brought up in that last question, you guys host Westfield tonight and then Greenfield Central tomorrow night. But how does it feel being able to play these first two games from home, especially holding on with that momentum from the last three games?
Yeah, you know, we always feel like we have a home field advantage. We know how our field plays, and, you know, we kind of get into a little bit of a routine when we play at home. You know, we've got our clubhouse, we've got our batting cage right behind our clubhouse, so we feel like we can really prepare and get a little extra work in when we play at home. So we always think that's an advantage for us.
But taking a peek at tonight's opponent, the Westfield Shamrocks. Now, this team is ranked ninth in the state of Indiana, standing at a record of 10-4, but they went on to open up the season 8-0. So Westfield, obviously a pretty dominant team. But in your eyes, what are a few keys for your team of potentially getting a win against this top-ranked Shamrocks team?
So, you know, they play in a really difficult conference. You know, they see good pitching, good baseball teams every single night of the week. There's no cupcake games for them. And so when you see the type of pitching that they see regularly, we want to try to throw something different at them. And so we're going to try to throw one of our softer throwing guys that relies more on off speed, and try to keep them off balance a little bit more in the box. We feel like that's going to give us the best shot to come away with a win. And so offensively, you know, some of their, like, you know, bottom of the order pitchers that we'll probably see tonight are still really good pitchers, you know. And so, you know, someone else's six or seven in their rotation is not going to match Westfield's six or seven. So, you know, we've just got to come out and put the bat in the baseball. You know, if we have the same kind of battle approach, the attack approach that we've shown over the last week, I feel confident that our guys are going to put the ball in play and put some guys on the bases and put the pressure on them. Our big thing tonight is, if, you know, we're throwing these softer guys at them, we've got to be able to make plays. So guys that aren't going to throw, you know, baseballs by Westfield's hitters, and we've got to make sure that defensively we're ready to play.
So, of course, the conference circuit of the week here for Pendleton Heights is against the Greenfield Central Cougars Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, of course, last time, talked about it last segment, you guys played Mount Vernon last week. First game fell 9-3, but then the next game you won 8-0. So with the way that last game went for Pendleton Heights against Mount Vernon, how excited are you to play Greenfield Central this week? And maybe, I guess, kind of translate that second game against Mount Vernon to these games against Greenfield Central.
You know, the type of confidence that you can pull from as a team when you go out and take a game from Mount Vernon the way that we did, you want to get right back on the field right away, you know. And I thought that, you know, Saturday actually was a little bit of an odd day for us. We actually got going a little bit sooner than we anticipated. There was some weather that was coming into Lafayette that night, and we wanted to get up there and at least get one game in was the goal. We ended up playing both. But I was actually fired up. Like, sometimes it's just a really good change of pace for us is, you know, you get into this routine of BP and then get on the bus and go BP. I was like, we got our guys there. They had like 10 minutes to get ready. Like, let's get on the bus and go so that we can play baseball. It was almost kind of just that like relaxed travel atmosphere. And so when we, and actually benefited us, my point being that from that last game, we just wanted to get out and play as quick as possible. So if it meant not taking BP, we just wanted to get the game in no matter what, because we just wanted to get back out in the field. And the same thing can be said about the next conference opponent. You know, we showed that we can play. You know, we got through some of the rough stuff kind of at the beginning of the year, getting guys experience and kind of figuring out who we were. And then we feel like we've got a good pulse right now about who we are and how we are, you know, what does it take for our team to win baseball games? What is the formula for us to win baseball games? And so that's really starting to materialize over the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, getting back out into conference and continuing to prove ourselves against good conference teams. You know, Greenfield's got a pitcher. You know, they've got the Mills kid who's going to be a threat for the next couple of years. We saw him last year a little bit, and so it's going to be especially when he's on the mound, it's going to be a battle. And so we're excited to get after it.
Yeah, I mean, taking a look at the Greenfield Central Cougars, taking a look at their record, they are 6-8. So they seem like a pretty average team, but they have a few batters above 400. Plus, they have a pretty solid, well-rounded pitching staff. But what would you say are the plans to take down the Cougars here over the next couple of days?
Yeah, their record's misleading. They're a good team. You know, they've struggled on the back half of their conference schedule, so they're pretty much splitting with teams, and so you can't take a game off. So we've got to put our best out there when they're putting their best out there, and. You know, the formula for us winning baseball games is no secret, right? We cannot walk guys. We can't give up errors in the field. You know, we want to keep our errors two or less in a game. We feel like that gives us the best chance to win. We've got to keep our walks under five. And then we've got to make sure that we're not striking it. We're not looking at strike three, that we're putting balls in play. You know, that second game on Saturday, we struck out three times, you know, and we scored 14 runs. When the ball goes in play for us and we put pressure on the defense, these are high school athletes, they're going to make mistakes. That's why we can't sit there and say, hey, we want zero errors for this day. Like, obviously, that's always the goal. But our winning formula means that we've got to stay cleaner in the field to the point of less than two errors, less than five walks on the game, and then put the ball in play.
Now, Friday, you guys travel to Shenandoah to take on the Raiders. Now, you haven't seen them yet, but you did open up your season on their field against Newcastle. But does that give your players a little bit more, like, familiarity with the field conditions?
Well, I think Shenandoah has a little bit more familiarity than our guys have familiarity with Shenandoah. So I don't think necessarily the fact that we played there just one day is going to give us, you know, this huge advantage over other teams. I think it's just going to be the fact that Shenandoah is a good team. They've went toe-to-toe with a number of good teams throughout the year. They've had a really great season so far. You know, this is not a cupcake week for us. This is, you're facing one of the best in the state in 4A, then you're turning around and facing a tough conference opponent, and then you're going out and playing a really good small school that if you're not ready to play, we'll make sure that you pay for it. So I'm excited to see our guys, their focus tonight against a really, really, like, you know, they're a great team coming in, to the point where then you've got kind of a where you feel like you match up well against the Greenfield team, and then a game that on paper you should win based on size of school. But as we've seen throughout the year and throughout all sorts of Pendleton High's history, when you could try to play down to an opponent or you play down to opponent's size, you know, they'll come out and surprise you. So I'm interested to see our team's mindset moving forward, that you've got to play the team like they're you're ready to go. Like, you've got to make sure that you're facing the team, then playing the team, that not what you see on paper, but you're just going out and playing baseball. So
Thursday will really be your only practice this week, breaking up the four games this week. Now, is it challenging playing that many consecutive games with those limited amounts of practice?
Yeah, and so a lot of times when we only have a day or two of practice a week, a lot of times we'll try to mix in different things during the game. Like, if a guy needs to get a bullpen, we'll try to work in an inning for that guy before the, you know, his scheduled start. You know, that's what ended up being a lot of what we did on Saturday. You know, a lot of guys that are going to pitch tomorrow and Wednesday got their kind of like midweek bullpen, you know, up in Lafayette. And so that's, you have to balance it that way. You know, at this point in the season, how we play baseball is not going to change a whole lot. You know, it's just making sure that we're staying sharp. You know, we're not trying to figure out, you know, guys' rotations. We're not trying to figure out where guys fit in. We've got a pretty good handle on that. We're not trying to implement any new plays at this point. The way we play and what we've got for us and what our playbook looks like, you know, that's kind of set standard. You know, it's standard right now. So right now it's just about making sure that we're staying sharp and staying confident.
So that will do it for our second and final segment here with Coach Vosper. Coach, thank you for joining me.
You bet, anytime.
But when we come back, Ian caught up with Pendleton Club rugby coach Kurt Drought to wrap up tonight's show. Listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 W.
Lots of laughs are coming your way from WEEM's newest podcast,
aka Comedy.
I'm Aubrey Cook.
I'm Kennedy Quinn, and we are Aubrey, Kennedy, and Comedy.
You can find us on our website at 917WEEM.org or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Check us out for your bi-weekly dose of comic relief.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here with the rugby coach of Pendleton, Coach Trout, here for our sixth and final segment of the show. My coach, it's definitely been a busy part of your season when it comes to playing rugby. You've seen a lot of different teams so far this year, but one of your big games, or I guess 2 weeks ago, was that big Carmel game you had at home on that Friday night. You defeated Carmel. That's a team you guys fell to in that state championship game last year. But how was it being able to have Carmel at your home field on a Friday night and getting that win against Carmel?
Well, the atmosphere was awesome. And I, you know, shout out to the students, to the parents, and just the community, because we had a bunch of community members there. People came in. We were the only people playing on Friday night, so we had people come in from Indianapolis and other area rugby teams and came to watch a good show. And kids played really well, and for the most part, I mean, we had some things we had to work on, but it was you know, 1.34-0 against a team that beat us in the state championship, and they're a very formidable team. And kind of dropped off a little bit in the second half, made a couple of decision errors. But other than that, with 34-12 wins, always a good win over Carmel.
So you beat Carmel last week, and then this past Friday you played Carroll out of Fort Wayne, a team they're still trying to build a lot in their program, and you guys had a nice, very solid shutout win against the Carroll squad.
Yeah, it's tough to do in rugby, especially when we played around 28 or 30 guys in the game. And sometimes when you lose a little bit of that momentum, but the guys who came in, like Sam Ray, you know, Dama Poe, Zach Jacobs, JJ Kissick, and Caleb Day. So those guys came in and really gave us some really good minutes there to give some other guys rest, but also to work on their game as well with some of the other varsity guys on the field. So that part was pretty cool. Those guys have been playing really well with JV. It was nice to get them a look. So having pitching a shutout there is pretty tough to do. But kudos to the boys that came in and kind of held that first half 49-0 score and really added a couple more scores to it. It was pretty cool.
And this past Friday was your final Friday Night Lights game there on your home field, but it was also your senior night and kind of youth or recognition night as well. What was it like just being able to have some of those younger kids there kind of looking up at what's the top part of the program?
The kids are starting to watch our players, and I had to warn some of the guys. I said, listen, they're watching you and they're imitating you. And, you know, we as coaches, whether it's rugby or football, we're talking to the kids all the time about being good role models. So rugby-wise, they're being excellent role models. Off the field, they're being excellent role models. Yesterday, we had 250 youth kids out at our fields playing – you know, everywhere from Leo, Carroll, up north to Southeastern and Carmel yesterday. So we had a packed house, and our kids came, a huge chunk of kids came out and watched, and the little kids noticed that too. That was pretty awesome.
And then this upcoming Wednesday, you guys will host Royal Irish, the Cathedral-based rugby team, and they're a top 10 team in the nation. So definitely a very talented program to really help your team not only get better, but to really kind of square up with some of the best the country has to offer.
No question. And we haven't had this opportunity yet. So this will be the first time we'll play what is a Super League team here in Indiana. We've been playing Division I, which is very solid. And so this is a big step up, like you said, with upcoming matches at the Midwest and the national championships. These are the types of teams we're going to see. So being able to see them now on a Wednesday at home, it's pretty good. And we really look forward to the opportunity, regardless of outcome. It's not going to matter. You know, everyone wants to win and every team's beatable. So we would like to be able to go out and give a good effort there. But the experience is going to be the biggest part from us, what the takeaways are and preparing for our upcoming end of season.
As you mentioned, this upcoming weekend, you guys travel up to Elkhart to play in that Midwest tournament. As you said, you'll see a lot of different teams there, as you'll play both Saturday and Sunday. So what can you kind of expect from the Midwest tournament?
Well, the Midwest is always good because you get so much playing time. Our junior varsity will play three games. Our varsity will play three games. And you really figure things out. If you haven't already to this point, you figured out who you are. You figure out what combinations are working and what to do. And kids, a lot of our kids are brand new to rugby, so three more games for them is monumental. It makes a big difference. So Midwest usually is a good springboard into the state tournament, but we'll have another tournament in between there, which will be the national championships.
But as you mentioned, that national championships, your team was accepted, and that's a big kind of monumental step for the team and club. They've been working at it for years, but finally kind of the first year in that national championship.
Yeah, it's a huge privilege, huge honor to be invited. And we found out last week that we're going to make it into the tier two, which is where we belong. There's a top tier and there's a second tier for clubs that don't quite make it into the top tier, and that's where we landed. And I couldn't be happier. I mean, it's so cool. It's flattering. You know, it's just a nice honor to be able to go up there, and we'll see yet even more broad. Competition there from teams from coast to coast.
And then, so what are some of the biggest things you want to really focus in on and try to fix up before the later part in that state tournament run later in the season?
Well, it's funny. One of the things we talked about at halftime on Friday night, I was watching the college national championships and they interviewed the coach at halftime. They said, what are you going to work on? He's like, we got to steepen our attack. So it's one of the things that we just have to get a little deeper in our attack. It must be a teenage or a young man issue where they get so anxious and they want to be closer and closer to the line to get the ball and score. So we really had to work on our patience again. I mean, we were very, very patient Friday night, and you could see that with the halftime score, 49-0. We were just patient, played our game, and did those things. And really we were practicing for this upcoming Royal Irish game, where if we're patient, we'll be able to put a lot of pressure on them. And I think that's going to be one of the things we had to work on this week.
And then, as you mentioned, we talked earlier, this game Wednesday against Royal Irish, that is your final home game of the season being played here in Pendleton. So a great opportunity, if you haven't been able to check out Pendleton rugby yet, to come out and catch that final game at home.
Yeah, it's great. Our community has been awesome. That game time is 6 o'clock. We've been playing our games at 7 or 7:30 under the lights. This one won't be under the lights, but it will be at 6 o'clock, so a little bit earlier. And if there's not a conflict, come on out and see us.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you joining me here for this interview.
Thanks, Ian.
That's all we have for our show today. Hope you guys all enjoyed, for everyone listening out there. And we wish you all a good night. But for Jacob Festmeyer, I'm Ian Stevens, signing off.